In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
This is John Cass at the Chicago Way, and, you know, I don't have any cartoon characters with me like Chelveston the Duck, but I do have Will Lee and Jeff Garland here. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Will.
How's it going, sir?
You know what, guys? It's nice out now. It's like in the 40s even. You know, people from southern climes can deal with this weather right now. But let me tell you a story. The other day, what we do on this podcast, a lot of times we talk about what's not talked about, right? We talk about what's in the news that's not talked about. I'll give you a little scene. Will and I were at the Cook County Democratic slating session the other day. I'd been writing about candidates for state's attorney, Kim Fox, who looked, you know, and Anita Alvarez, this whole good wife thing. It's going to be a good wife theme throughout. Kim Fox had her ponytail going. Anita Alvarez at the Italian restaurant with the red blazer. Mm-hmm. And so then we get to the slating where Anita gets stabbed in the back by the Democrats who betray her and vote for Kim and endorse Kim. And while they're doing that in the supreme quiet, we're all out in the hallway, right? Well, and there's two groups of people. There's the younger reporters with Kim Fox, and you were one of them, and they're listening to Kim's holding court. But we just had breakfast with her the day before, so I wasn't interested. And then the old timers, me, Marianne Ahern, Bill Cameron, who is so old that he was my high school football referee. Okay, he refereed my high school football games. That's how old that guy is. And that's why I never want him to quit. So there's always somebody, you know, creakier than me. And Craig Delamore, who I always think about smoking a pipe. Right? Like kind of like...
Well, he's got that salt and pepper thing in the side of his
temples
there. Doesn't he? You
know? Like a distinguished man.
He needs the elbow patches and...
professorial, yeah. Yes.
He could be a professorial character on the Old Spice commercials if they ever made one. Like with Craig Delamore's head, like, you know...
Flexing his pecs,
passing his head on the silver plate, smoking. And so what we're doing is we're listening to the great video of the day. Now let me set it up. Nancy Liu at WGN got sent out by a news director on the most stupid assignment that broadcast people get sent out on, which is go stand in the cold and freeze your butt off. All right, it was really cold a couple days ago. Jeff, why don't you let us hear that?
Well, it's going to be another day of extreme cold.
And Nancy Liu gets the great gig of standing outside in the middle of it. Hey, Nancy.
How cold is it?
It is dang cold. In fact, I wish I could do just this report. It's dangerously cold. It's about 5 degrees right now. Wind chill about 15 to 20 below. Don't be stupid. Back to you. Or do you want a full report?
No, that's good. Well done.
I have to say,
wow.
Larry and Robin are awesome in the morning.
Yeah, that's a fun show.
Right? And don't be stupid. Did she have her hat on? Oh, that's the other station you came
in. Yeah, it's the other station. She had a hood, a fuzzy furry hood, and a hat.
And Larry and Robin applauded her. They actually stood up and applauded her when she did that.
What a stupid assignment that is. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know it's cold out? Mm-hmm. You know, like right. We don't know. I mean, every year they do the same damn thing. And then the what I really resent are these like weathercasters making all this money that we don't make, telling you about thermal inclines. Shut up. Give me the. I want like, is it going to be 50 degrees or is it going to be below zero? Mm-hmm. Let me know. Why do we got to pay people $1 million to tell us that it's cold?
The farmers. It's for the farmers, John.
There's no farmers. It's soybeans. Everything's soybeans. They don't worry about anything. It drives me crazy. So, Will, how's your week been, man?
My week has been extremely busy. Waking up very early, which is kind of, my thing.
But, 8 o'clock for you.
It's insane. But actually, it's been very interesting kind of sitting across from all these folks who we see in the news.
You mean the political people?
Oh, absolutely.
And they sit down with us at breakfast or lunch. I took Kim Fox to
Wishbone,
right?
Right.
And Anita to one of my favorite Italian places, Bruna's on Oakley. And while we're doing that, eating all this great food, Jeff is puking his guts out because all he eats is raw vegetables, and he apparently ate a filthy one.
Yeah, I think it was a bean sprout.
Ooh.
Really?
Those are dangerous. You got to be careful. You got to clean them really well, and I apparently did not do that.
That's the whole vegetarian thing, right? You got E. coli from a fucking...
Sorry.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast from a plant.
Bam.
Bleep that out.
I can bleep that out.
Yeah. From a plant, right?
Yeah, a plant tried to kill me.
Right.
It wasn't even Little Shop of Horrors.
Did you do the Brat diet, by the way? What's that?
Oh, you mean that was...
I texted it to you, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I did bananas and rice, and then that's as far as I got.
What's the A, then? Applesauce and tea.
Yeah. Oh, the applesauce. That's right. I did tea. So I did.
What are you, like six?
I didn't look. Yeah, exactly. It's called it the elementary school diet. Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. All right. So today, we'll get into the politics and everything and how they acted. But first, I got to tell you something. I'm sick of politics for right now. I got to go see a movie. And Will is saying, no, let's stay on politics. And we walk into Mark Jacobs' office, the Metro editor, and he's like, well, politics is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking... They want me to write about politics, okay? But I've had it, Will. Right. Enough. Mm. I want to see a movie. And I'll tell you the movie I want to see. It's a real hot movie. We could go to it right down the street after we do the podcast. And it stars Richard Harris, directed by John Huston, about the trapper and the bear. Mm. No?
Is Leo in it? Or
it won the gold. It got the Golden Globes. It's got all the Oscar nominations, right?
That's true.
I think you're in your Wayback Machine, John.
Richard Harris, the bear. It attacks him. He's half alive. They bury him anyway because they don't want to wait. And then they're somehow in a stupid boat in the middle of the Western Plains. I don't know how the boat got there, but there's a lot of mud, and they got to push these muddy boat wheels through mud, and then the planes are there, and then the Indians kill him.
Let me ask you, is Richard Harris a pretty boy who used to be in Growing Pains? Because if it's not, then I think you've got the wrong movie.
No, Richard Harris played a rugby player once in a movie I can't remember. And he also sang MacArthur Park is There's a Cake in the Rain or something, right? And he did Camelot, and he played the old man, the emperor who was strangled by Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator, one of the great, you know, sword and sandal movies has ever been made. Richard Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he in this movie?
I don't think so.
It's the same movie,
The Man in the Wilderness?
The Man in the Wilderness and Revenant, right?
Based on the same story, John.
Right.
Same movie. Everything's derivative in the world.
This is true.
People don't even know. Then Jeff tells me, he was talking to Rich Roper. What did Roper say?
Robert said, having seen both movies, I brought this up to him because it occurred to me that this is a lot of people were mentioning it online. It's like, it's Richard Harris did this first.
You mean I didn't think of
you
this
were no, you're derivative of other people on Facebook. Sorry, John.
Sorry,
but he said that while Richard Harris is a Man in the Wilderness is based on the same gentleman's life, that The Revenant is more closely related.
Zach Bass.
Yes, more closely related to his life and is much more graphic and is not like a pretty boy studio movie. It's dirty and grimy and visceral and violent, and it goes way beyond what they could have done with Richard Harris back then.
Because they have CGI bears who can run through the woods and bite a guy.
Sure.
Right before, they had to train the stupid bear, and it probably could kill your actor, right?
Correct.
Now it's a CGI bear. It has to be, right? I've seen the trailer.
I have no idea.
I can't wait to see this one. Okay, I saw another one that I thought... sucked. It's called Samuel Jackson.
Oh, The Hateful
playing
Eight?
Playing the stereotype, killing people.
Hateful Eight?
8.8.
You know, I mean, I would like to share this story because we saw it together last month.
Like a mandate, like a thing.
And afterwards, it's the funniest thing. It's myself and John and two other reviewers, and we are basically standing on the street picking the movie apart for like at least 20-25 minutes. Everyone's like, John's like, let's get some pie and get some coffee and talk about
pie
it.
Pie and coffee at a movie, right? After?
It was a mandate.
We were at the Music Box Theater for screening.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that Will's like totally into the whole movie business, because we're going to end up writing our own detective series.
Oh, nice.
You know? See? But Will's getting me on all these lists so I could go to screenings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we come out, and that's what you want is a pie, don't you?
Yeah.
A pie and a coffee, not a pint. I don't want a beer. I want pie and coffee after a movie.
I remember Baker Square
There's no
days.
Excuse me,
when I was a kid, we had to go to Baker Square.
No, I mean, we're in the Music Box.
I live in the suburbs, so come on. You got to give me some break.
Yeah, Baker Square is a part of the suburb, just like Dairy Queen.
Exactly.
Or, you know.
Chili's.
Or it used to be called Poppin' Fresh.
Poppin' Fresh. Before Baker Square?
Yeah, before it was Baker Square, it was Poppin' Fresh.
What was Poppin' Fresh?
Now,
same
thing.
Tripping
now
it's
in the Wayback Machine there.
Are you going to stop at the Jack in the Box for a fried taco or whatever they used to do?
The fried taco.
Right?
Ooh, that does sound good.
The double burrito fried.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Right?
I haven't eaten. I'm afraid to eat vegetables, and that's all I have at home. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Anyway, so we see this movie, Hateful Eight, totally. You know, not good, right?
But you like parts of it. You love the shooting of the shots, like the 70mm and like the sort of open expanse. I mean, it was very long, but
open expanse. They shot most of the movie in a house,
right?
In the dark,
right? But it, like the first 10 minutes of the movie is, you know, the
cinemascope,
mountains and snow and all of that, and you can get kind of taken up with that. But after a while, but then there's so much dialogue.
Here's the thing: every time I watch Tarantino's movies now, I can't, and I love Sam Jackson, but I'm getting a little sick of it. Like, you got sick of it a while ago, just confess, okay? He plays the same thing, the crafty old guy, you know what I mean? That same, right?
But what can he really, I mean, it's kind of like, I liked his character just because somebody to kind of deconstruct it's like, what is, I like the idea of it's kind of like a Western mystery. I like some of that. It's just a lot of it kind of didn't come off as realistic. I know there's a particular part. I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't.
No, I don't mind about the crazy black guy wreaking sexual havoc on a white racist. No, I don't. Oh, did I spoil that?
Well, who would? But I mean,
right.
I certainly.
I don't mind that.
But it was just kind of like the it's kind of like Inglourious Basterds, which was also a very good one, but very, very wordy, very, very long and drawn out. And you're just kind of like, okay. So after a while, you just find yourself kind of dozing.
Like, shut up already.
Yeah.
But this one now, it's going to be good. We'll go to the movie after the show. Mm-hmm. And
Midday Mandate? Nice.
Midday Mandate, yeah. Oh, do we have to do the separate? We just kind of sit together.
You guys,
we don't do the separate seat.
You leave the chair between you.
No, because we're confident in our own male sexualities.
That's not true.
You know what I mean?
Hey, absolutely.
Right?
They're not the seats that like recline and like lean back, because those are nice. Yeah.
There's a out in the Western suburbs. It's the only place I'll go to a movie where with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Western suburbs. You pay a little more. You sit in your recliner, and when I go into the theater, first thing I say is I stand up and take my coat off. Right? Then I say, Betty. I say it in a loud voice, but kind of nervous voice. I forgot to take my meds. I always say that. I forgot to take my meds. And the kid, they get so embarrassed. I'm like, really? Betty, I forgot the meds the last 2 days. I didn't take them. I didn't take them, Betty. I say it like that loud. And people get like kind of cringy in their chairs. Shut up. You know what I mean? What that's designed for?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. I don't want to hear any talking. Don't talk. Just disappear. In your little seat.
Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not very respectful of people who come to a movie theater drunk. I mean, they have a right to a good time and to ruin movies and stuff for us too, right?
That's why midday matinees are good.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Who are we going to see? A bunch of old people?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of weird, snaky guys that are trying to pick people up? I don't know what. What else are we going to see?
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, just regular movie buffs.
Yeah, but it's not all, all fun and games. Sometimes you get the people who are like, who's he? What are they talking about? I don't know what's going on. I can barely hear it.
Are you talking? That's why I don't take my mom to the movies. Sometimes we let her out of the basement and take her off the chain when we have guests over. You know, then she, like make the potato salad, or you're going back down there.
Oh, jeez. You know,
yeah, there you go.
Come on, Will's seen it. She's got a nice little, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, we treat her well.
It's a nice pad there. You know, she can kind of stretch.
You won't hurt yourself on the cold tile.
It's a nice. It's
I love you, Mom. You know, I'm joking. Okay.
It's a balmy 60 degrees down there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so we're gonna see the movie. But in the meantime, let's talk about what wasn't in the papers. And what let's talk about what is in the paper right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, Bill Ruthart, the Chicago Tribune City Hall reporter and investigative reporter, is at the Mayor Rahm Emanuel I Love Black People breakfast. And I love him so much that I'm going to sit in Martin Luther King's lap and he's going to hug me. And then I'll be forgiven for what I did with the Laquan McDonald video. Isn't that what that breakfast is called?
Well, it's a long title to have.
Yeah.
It's pretty long to have on the banner.
They shortened it to MLK to make it easier.
All right. So he says, this is not about me. This is about Martin Luther King's legacy. So what happened today?
Well, today, at the very beginning, it was 8 a.m. Breakfast, and the different entrances to the higher regency at McCormick Place, there were the protesters who were already staked out well before 8 o'clock, from what I've seen. And during the breakfast, which was, it looked like from the video that was posted by Chicago Tribune reporter Bill Ruthart, during it, one reverend actually got up and started shouting. He was disruptive. We have a clip of that?
And the cover up! 16 shots 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 and the cover up!
He's being let out by security right there, and that's where Bill is standing. He's coming, wading his way through the tables.
Nightmare, Rahm. Rahm, it never ends. Mayor Groundhog Day was the column today. It never ends, right? He wakes up every day with another one of these. And there's national media there today.
Sure.
The Washington Post did a front page story today. Basically, a hat tip to our story, Tribune story of the day before, about how all the senior officials in the mayor's administration knew about the video except the mayor. I mean, there seems to be a, like, convenient. Who believes that?
That's very convenient.
Who believes it?
People do. I mean, there are people who buy it.
Tell me one guy, if you believe it, I want you to show up and talk to me. Show up on Michigan Avenue where I get my fresh air occasionally. Just wait out there in the cold till I'm ready to come out and tell me, because I can't believe it, Jeff. Who believes that?
I don't know any specifically. Nobody's come to me in that instance and said that. But there are people who disbelieve, who so strongly want to be against what the, you know, the Laquan McDonald and the Black Lives Matter thing.
Right.
That they side with Rahm on this somehow, and I don't get it.
There's also, I think, people in our business who don't want to anger the mayor, who say, well, this says there's no smoking gun. They use the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, you stupid moron. Not you, Jeff.
I know.
Whoever said smoking gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have friends in the business who say that. I go, wake up. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Here's a guy who's billed as the most corrupt, devious inside player we've ever seen, Rahm Emanuel, right? All the way back to when he was hanging with Jimmy DeLeo and getting his getting elected to Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the 5th. And now he's a guy who doesn't know anything? You buy it, Will Lee, old school.
Well, I don't buy anything. For my own, you know, sort of unique perches, having, you know, being the cop reporter and deal with this, he doesn't really have the benefit of the doubt, because just from my own experiences, I know that how hard his administration and administration before his have worked to keep bad news out of the press, not for any really good reason, only just to kind of avoid embarrassment. You know, so it's really so now what he's kind of asked, calling for is the benefit of the doubt, and he just doesn't have it. You know, they'll do anything to kind of keep from having to, you know, answer questions about whether police, because the police is not something, he controls it, but he doesn't own them.
Okay, you're my friend, and I'm not going to let you slide on this. Sit down and tell me, do you believe it or not?
I don't believe it.
Right. Who does? Because how could the mayor of Chicago not know what's going on. And when he's his own press secretary, his own political operative, he does all these things himself.
He's a control freak. I mean, he's what he's known for. And how could he not? I mean, how could this is the one thing I didn't know about.
You know, the last guy, the last moron that was Mayor Shortshanks, remember? Mm-hmm. Mayor Fredo? He'd show up and say, like, I don't know. You know, he had Fedsheimers. Remember we called them Fedsheimers? But this is different because now you have African-Americans and others protesting, doing the 16 shots in his face on national TV. So now he cannot hide. And what is he supposed to say? He's got two options. He can sit down with me and Will. Maybe where do we take him for lunch? Quiet place.
Something
with good veal. You know, they have the kind of the washroom with one of the strings and you pull it. You know, that kind of place?
I don't know if Rahm is a meat eater exactly.
No, he's a meat eater, definitely. So we put him in a place like that, quiet, and we talk to him, and he's got two things he could say. He could say, sit down with me, interview, which I've asked, and admit to the whole damn thing. Say, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was freaking out. I was going to lose the election. I thought I would screw everything up, and I had the out of it was being investigated. So I failed my city and myself, and I want to be better. He could say that. But that would mean I lied to you. Not only did I lie to you at the beginning of this Laquan video controversy, but I've been lying every day since. So that's the problem for him. He can't, what is he supposed to do, admit to a lie?
He has to come clean. He has to say, actually answer questions. I think his handling of everything thus far has been suspect, as are most of his media availabilities, is that, you know, he'll say what he wants to say, he'll stay on message, and then even when questions are still coming, he literally waltzes out. He'll walk away.
Waltzes,
you know,
yes.
And that's and he'll have
the ballet
with his back, you know, to his back, all his supporters who will smile and, you know, and joke with him. Yes, he really showed them.
You told them.
Exactly.
You told, like, Beavis and Butthead,
you know,
losers,
sycophants doing that. And it's like, none of our questions are answered. And that only lasts for so long. And right now he's beyond the end of his rope.
Jeff, have you ever been to these? I mean, like, you've spent your professional career behind that glass, listening to gas bags, pretend they know what they're talking about. Trying to make them look better.
That's absolutely better, right?
But have you ever been to that scene, like that news scene?
No, I've never actually sat in the room. I mean, I've seen live feeds of everything.
If you've ever been in that room, let us know.
I mean, I once had to record something for a radio station. I had to get Rahm to say some pleasantries about a radio station.
The one that I worked for.
Yeah, exactly.
Too. And the one that fired me.
Exactly.
Right after we had the runoff vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Yeah. And what happened there?
Well, I was sitting in the newsroom or the press room, in the middle of the chair, and I've got, you know, the stage on the one side and the wall on the other side, and Rahm comes bustling through, opens one door, and goes ding 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 ding. I'll be right with you, and then runs out and goes through the next door, and he comes back through the door. Be right with you. Like three or four times, just going back and forth. I have no idea what he's doing. And finally, he comes up to me. He's like, okay, let's do this. And literally, I got 2 minutes from him. He recorded his little thing. He's like, okay, goodbye. And that was it. But that's all I ever got from him, was this little man going back and forth between these two little doors.
And he took tiny little steps on tiny little feet, right?
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing that we don't talk about in the news. Could the average person hold two of Rahm Emanuel's feet in his hand? You know, like when you give the baby a bath?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hold the both feet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, could you hold them?
I don't know.
I think so. Not that I would want to hold Mayor's
feet.
That's twisted. But, I mean, if you could, at least one, right?
Yeah. Do you think he resigns?
I used to think no, and they put out this thing like, if Rahm's not there, oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
And everyone, that was the first time. When they made Chuy García, who's a total lefty, okay? But I liked him. And they made him look like he was going to bring gangbangers to run the city. That's how they did it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a Detroit, said Mark Kirk, which I'll never forgive him for. So he had his proxy people out there make it. But now people are like, you know what? It's bad enough. Are you going to make it worse? And we listed, didn't we, Will, a list of people that I thought... Let's see. I'll tell you. Susana Mendoza, she's running for controller, Illinois controller. She's probably the closest to Mike Madigan, but she's also part of that old kind of like Irish Catholic acolyte system where they start out at the bottom and work their butt off and learn every part of government. And so now Susanna, she, you know, is clerk, city clerk. She's running for state comptroller where they pay the money. She's learning the nuts and bolts of government. So I think maybe she could do it someday. Who else?
I think you mentioned, of course, Lisa, who had...
Lisa, because where's she going? Mm-hmm. She can't be governor now that her, with her dad in the...
We mean Lisa Madigan.
Lisa Madigan, the princess. Sure. I remember I called her the princess and the pea and did a whole thing on that. People got upset. Okay.
The other one, I think you mentioned Kwame Raoul.
The Kwaminator.
Kwaminator.
Right?
I love Kwame. I think he's a genuine guy.
Yeah,
but you get him, you know, to answer questions on stuff, and he puts stuff out there, and then he just never has anything to back anything up. I mean, I've done so. You had him on for so many different shows to, mm-hmm. to talk about things that he's put forward, bills that he's put forward, or he's co-sponsored, and you ask him about it, he's like, well, I don't know. I just put my name on it, essentially. I mean, he doesn't say that, but...
How's this one? Like, he put forward the concealed carry bill,
mm-hmm.
authored it, and sponsored it, and then voted against it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He'd have to get over that somehow, and yeah. I don't know that he would.
I like, who else do we like? Who do you like, Will?
Well, we also mentioned the elected official who you've taken to call boss in the past few weeks.
Tony Taxwinkle.
Although I think that she also has, you know, chops. She may have her sights on governor. That's just my own thing. She could do either or. But mayor, in a short run.
What did you think? Now, I've written about Tony Taxwinkle and her, you know, endorsements and so forth. And I went and saw her. I met her. Did I tell the story on the podcast?
Mm-mm.
I saw her at the slating. I was there early. Will was there. And I see her, she's like, hello, John. You know, she's like 7 feet tall.
Sure.
You know, looks down, you know, angular, wearing green. Oh, yeah, like St. Patrick's Day, baby.
Really?
You know what I mean? It was that whole green thing. I think she's doing it, you know, it's like a joke for her.
Sure.
And she said, hello, John. I said, hello, Madam Taxwinkle. And she kind of laughed. She wasn't like all, she's very nervous about saying anything untoward about Rahm, but she does say, you know, about all this stuff, she say something like, I'm extremely disappointed.
Sure.
Which to her, she wants it to be heavier than that. I don't know. Maybe she could do it. She could have taken him on and won. Here's an interesting thing. Timeline. Okay, guys? When he's suppressing the video and they know it's coming in the fall, that's when Tony Preckwinkle is thinking about running. Right? Wasn't she?
Well, that's the whole thing. It was all speculated. I don't know if she ever actually came. It was just that
I speculated the heck out of
you
it.
Did.
She started speaking out against City Hall,
right.
Which is, you know, we know from decades that, you know, one doesn't speak out without the other.
Right.
You know, the county board president doesn't go popping off about the mayor of Chicago.
Right.
They have to work too often together. So people started saying, well, what is this posturing? What does this mean? And that's when you know, folks like you came out to say, what's your deal? But eventually she kind of backed off.
She didn't
criticize as much.
Yeah, that's her problem. She's doing a Forrest Claypool. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing we don't talk about. Mm-hmm. But Forrest Claypool, Tony Preckwinkle, they'll throw other people out there in front. They don't really, you know what I mean? You have to have the stones to say, I'm going to try to kill the king. You know, just like when they were beating up in the media Rich Daley at the end of his reign.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy then, man. The guy's resigning. You know, he's stepping down in disgrace, a blubbering mass of goo. Mm-hmm. That's not when it's, you know, do it when he's strong. Don't start beating him up.
There's no triumph in killing a weak king.
Well, that's the thing with Rahm. Rahm was kind of the person that people didn't speak out with, let's say, this time last year.
They're all coming.
This time last year.
They're piling on now.
Right. Now everyone is kind of making statements that they weren't saying back then. You know,
what's that about?
Well, because he's weak. They smell blood in the water. And it's been blood. It's been bloody water for the past couple of months. I think, and I don't know this man, of course, but just from what we've covered, I think that he thought that he could turn a page by making a few of these speeches and doing that, and then... He wouldn't have to discuss these issues, but we already know there's probably several more videos and reports that have been hidden out there. We're just waiting for the next one to come out and to reignite this battle all over again.
I think he's in serious trouble. I don't see it ending because the whole thing is about a lie. The whole problem is he lied and everybody knows it. And so he's not going to, until he admits the lie, how can he move on? Yeah, so let's see what else.
I wanted to ask you about your two meals you had with this
week.
Oh,
yeah.
Your important meals. Well, what did you eat?
What do you want to know? Which one first?
Let's talk about Kim Fox first.
Kim Fox. Yeah, very attractive, very smooth, great storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
She came out of Cabrini, a young girl working for her mom was a city worker, and she says, I'm not connected. Okay. Let me give, and I didn't say this to her, but I told it to Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I told it to some of her people the next day after the column ran. I go, okay, that's a freebie, the first one.
Sure.
But don't play that with me again. Because if you're African-American in Cabrini Green and your mom gets a job for the city, right, you have to go through Georgetown to get that job. That's how it happened in those days. He was the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. He was the committeeman of the 42nd Ward. No jobs went out of Cabrini unless Georgetown or Jesse White, his aide, said so. Okay, so and her mom was a tumbler, right, from Jesse White.
Yeah, she said that.
Wow.
So she has connect. You know what I
sure.
mean? She wants to say I'm not connected, but you are connected, and you're Tony Preckwinkle's.
Yeah.
Arm now. You're going to be Tony Preckwinkle's muscle if you get elected. That said, I really like her. I thought she had a good presentation, and the breakfast was kick ass.
Yeah, what'd you have?
Let's see. What did you have, Will?
I had the biscuits and gravy, orange juice.
And Kim, he tweeted that out, like, because we were talking on Twitter, Will and I, about the breakfast, and she favorited your biscuits and gravy.
She also favorited the picture I took of you to yesterday talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you guys were chatting in a hallway.
Well, one where I look like a fat old Greek guy that's balding. I'm not balding, by the way. That picture sucks.
Oh, yeah. John's definitely not balding.
No, he's not.
I got the big hair, you know?
It's true.
Okay, so it was...
What did you have, John?
I asked the waiter, what's good?
Good move.
And he said, blackened catfish.
Hmm.
For breakfast, though.
For breakfast, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Good protein. Start that day strong.
With cheese grits.
Yeah.
And did it come with eggs? I forgot. A couple eggs. Man, that was good. And then at Bruna's, okay, 24th and Oakley. You ever go there?
Mm-mm.
Luciano's the owner. And the first time I went to Bruna's years ago, it's on the street on Oakley, 24th Street, like old world, heart of Italy neighborhood. What does it look like to you? It looks like a movie of an Italian neighborhood.
Right.
Right? You look down.
It's a place that used to be an apartment building, but on the main floor, they actually have a restaurant.
Right. Yeah. And the restaurant's been there forever, and all the restaurants have been there forever. The first guy I went to Bruna's with years ago was a state's attorney. I had the veal salt and bocca. He goes, John, try the veal salt and bocca. It's good. Okay, and so I'm like, thanks, Rich. Yeah, I will. Veal salt and bocca at Bruna's, to me, with the side order of linguine aglio, is the best meal in the city, with a glass of Montepulciano or something.
Sure.
But I didn't have that yesterday because I wanted it to be different. So when we were with Anita and her spokesman, Sally Daly, who we've known Will and I for years, she's a former reporter for the Southtown, they had, what, soup and salad or something?
Yeah, Diet Cokes, both of them.
Yeah, Diet Cokes, that's how they started it. You know, when they say Diet Cokes, they don't really want a Diet Coke. They want a drink.
Sure.
But they say Diet Coke thinking they have to say.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want too much to come out either after, you know.
There's no cameras. No one's going to take a picture of them drinking a glass of wine.
Right.
But don't people say Diet Coke or iced tea when they really want to drink, but they say the other? And they probably regret it
sure.
throughout the whole meal. Hmm. So what did you have, Will?
I had the, I believe I had the ravioli. Was it feta cheese ravioli?
Mm.
Sounds good.
Great place, man. Great place. Great history of politics. Great history of politics. You could go there, like Gene and Giorgetti, and see political figures, some earthier characters on occasion, reporters, and just regular folks. Those are the places I like. I don't like a lot of the check please places. Do you?
Well, I mean, I have friends who own a couple of those places, and they're nice. And some of them are older places. I mean,
like what? What does your friend own?
It's Knife and Tine on Fullerton. So it's been open about 2 years now.
When we worked at that other place that fired me and that stupidly let you go, Did they come in and give us some food? They love their food.
I don't remember what they brought in, but they brought
Knife
in...
Knife and Tang.
Yeah, they brought in some burgers and stuff.
Yeah,
it was good.
You've been to any good places, Will?
Not lately.
Will's kind of food deprived. He's living in a food desert.
That's so he's told,
Kenwood,
right?
In Kenwood, right?
No, High Park has its places, but because of my job, I'm always eating on the run at these restaurants, and it's
it's really tough. Do I not feed you well? I feed him well. Where do we go around here?
Valari.
Sayanova for the Armenian.
Occasionally, Shaw's or Michael Jordan's steakhouse
for the burgers and first for his birthday steak, and also
and bacon.
They got the killer bacon. Oysy for the sushi,
right? Yes, Jeff, John, there. Absolutely good stuff.
But I guess I should find other places. Where else can we eat around here?
That's a good question. I mean,
I'm only on Michigan Avenue in the heart of right. I should find something.
It's usually too rich for my blood down here.
We're not tourists who are just kind of hanging out. We're like, what's good today?
And I'd say the best steak of all is the steak Vesuvio at Gene and Giorgetti, sitting in the corner table behind the wooden wall with your friends and wise guys and politicians and. There's something about that place. I know that it might be old, see, look like real old school, right? You've been there? It's old school?
I've never been to Gene and Giorgetti.
Shut up.
Never.
We've never been there?
Well, I've never been there. You've been.
I've never taken you to Gene and Giorgetti on one of our mandates?
Never.
Well, all right. We'll have to rectify.
That's
the name of a TV show. Yeah, Rectify. Mm-hmm. All right, so to wrap up here, what do we see? What's not in the news that we saw this week?
Well, what is not?
What didn't we not write about? What did I not write about that was weird? I think the saying hi to Toni Taxwinkle was kind of weird. Watching her kiss Democratic committeemen who voted for her handpicked candidate for state's attorney, and then some fat Greek guy with hair on his back said, I never saw George Dunn kiss anybody like that.
I got one. The interesting thing is how during our lunch with Anita, she completely said she had no connection with Rahm. That was the whole thing, the whole idea. The one thing that maybe I know you wanted to get into the column, there was just so many, we had so much stuff already, was the fact that she says people are assuming that, you know, I am scuttling the Laquan McDonald case because the mayor asked me to. She says that's ridiculous. She says I have nothing personal, no personal relationship with him whatsoever. He's helped me on some bills for like, you know, things down in the General Assembly. But other than that, they're not like bosom buddies.
I can't figure this out why she sat on it so long. She's got to be thinking, Rahm doesn't want me to go on this right away. The feds are investigating. When Zach Farden, the U.S. attorney, announces his charges, I'll be able to stand up with. This is her mind thinking. I'm thinking.
Right.
I'll be able to stand up with Zach Farden, the U.S. attorney, the state's attorney, you know, pursuing blind justice together to get the bad guys in the rectify, my new word, everything that's wrong with the McDonald case. But Zach Farden wasn't ready.
Right.
And she's hanging out there, and now she's toast. I'm having trouble thinking. All right, well, then we went to Petro's after the slating and ran into a lot of political guys there. It's across the street from City Hall. You know, the one on Randolph and LaSalle. And guys were saying that there is a pathway for Anita Alvarez to win. What does she have to do?
She basically
suburbs and white people,
right? Suburbs, white people, and African Americans who are not so taken, you know, maybe who might be more establishment, who aren't so taken with Kim Fox, who see Kim Fox as just the sort of rabble rouser. You know, if she can get a piece of each of these folks, she can win. And also, probably the upcoming election itself, I think, is it going to be a high turnout or low turnout?
She's not a rabble rouser. She's like a player, Kim Fox, who played through the system, right? She was the good kid. Went to school, didn't get pregnant early, got, you know, married, went to college. You know what I mean? Out of the projects, that's amazing to me, right? That's a great, not that people don't do it, they do it all the time, but it's a great story for kids in those circumstances to see.
An undertold story.
Undertold story. However, she's got about 3 minutes of legal time. Right? And she let her law license. What was the deal there? That happened on deadline. Okay? On deadline, writing the Kim Fox story, and it's like all of a sudden Trevor Jensen, one of the editors, says, yeah, did she have her license? And we checked it. Right? I thought, oh, my God, does she not have her license?
Actually,
what happened? What's the deal?
Actually, I mentioned it because I looked.
Yeah, you mentioned
it. I checked her out maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I thought maybe it was inactive, so I had to call in the ARDC, which is the group that disciplines lawyers, right, or attorneys, that sort of thing.
Registration Disciplinary Committee.
And they took me through her history, and they said, oh, it was inactive during the time she served with Tony Preckwinkle as her chief of staff. She allowed it to her law license to go inactive,
what?
Which means you don't pay it while it's inactive, but once it becomes active again, you have to pay all of the back fees. So as of last August, I believe she probably is her decision to run became more evident. She actually became active again.
Here's the problem with that. You let your law license lapse, and you don't have a lot of felony time, you know, on cases. That's where I have the problem with her. Big time. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind.
It'll all come out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, but I mean, obviously it will. But just to be in that position where you're supposed to be the attorney, you know, the person who's in charge of bringing cases forward, and, oh, by the way, law is not necessarily my biggest passion.
And prosecuting cases, well, I didn't really do a lot of felony cases.
Right. I mean, it's like having a scientist be, you know, your lead lawyer on something. You know, great, they probably know the science behind stuff, but they don't know the law, or they don't care.
Have a radio station where the boss comes in and they've never worked on a radio station, or they worked on a radio station but they never did programming, they never did the budgets, they never did all that.
Yeah.
What are the troops going to say? Or an editor comes in, yes, I'll run this paper because I used to write about pets. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You know, you're not telling me about politics if all you did was talk about chihuahuas. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the problem. She has 900 lawyers in that system. Right? So that's the problem.
Well, we should probably also state that her experience mostly is juvenile cases. So whenever we say felony cases, we mean adult felony cases versus juvenile felonies, which are not which aren't the same as adult
it's
felonies.
It's not. You know? It's not that you sit down at a table, the judge is like, okay, what are we going to do with attorney and the defense and the prosecutor, they sit together like us, like social workers, and figure something out, right? That's how they do it.
Best interest
of the child. He robbed two people and shot somebody in the head, but he's only a kid, you know, that kind of thing. So that's it for this week. I'm going to go see a movie. Will's going to sit with me. We're going to sit together without the man separator.
You guys share popcorn or?
You know what?
We usually get our own popcorn.
That's a good move.
Right, because you don't want...
Yeah.
Although, here's the thing about the sharing. Why is that bad?
Sharing it?
Because you're putting your hand in
there? Yeah. I mean, it's go mouth to hand, mouth to hand. I mean, that's
all
bad.
Right,
or wherever.
Let me ask you this.
Whatever.
What about the mint thing? That really bothers me.
The mint thing. I don't
know. Okay. Will, you've done it. Trevor does it, the editor of the column. Others do. I have mints. I'm like a mint because I'm scared. Going out for fresh air kind of ruins your breath. And you have the, you open the mint thing.
It's like the tin of mints, right? The Altoids?
Altoids, especially the minis.
Oh, God.
Now, I put a couple minis, like I shook them out so that there were like two or three minis on the other flap. You know, you open the tin. And everyone goes to the big chunk of Altoids, putting their hands in there, like touching every damn one, you know?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to say at those that's like the moment like when you haven't your neighbor is talking to you and then her dog starts crapping on your lawn. It's the same, you know, that thing where like it's kind of awkward.
I think that's a very specific thing, John.
Yeah, that seems, I don't know. I get that though. I think Altoids aren't for sharing.
They're not. So should there be is there a sharing mint where people won't touch it?
Yeah, they're called sticks of chewing gum.
Yeah, or Lifesavers that are individually wrapped, like the mint ones.
Yeah.
We have one of the production guys here. It has a big bowl of them. They're individually wrapped.
Lifesavers?
Yeah, the Lifesaver mints.
The wintergreens.
The wintergreens.
Oh, on his desk?
Yeah.
What a cheapskate.
What do you mean? He's got a whole bunch of tons of them.
Yeah.
And they're individually wrapped. I bet those cost more per piece than the Altoids do. So,
you're going to put something on your desk, it better be chocolate.
Oh, there's chocolate, too.
If Will Lee works with you,
there's chocolate,
or he won't come
in.
Oh,
yeah, there's always chocolate mints.
It better be good chocolate.
Yeah, it's
some people,
something there's Dove.
Oh, there's some people that are, like, really snobby about their chocolates.
Sure.
You know who it is?
Will? Really?
I'm a big chocolatier. Not probably as... I know people who are bigger chocolateers than myself, but yeah, I dabble.
He's a chocolate snob. Let's get into
Will's chocolateering
at another day
next week.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you, Will. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody, for listening. In the meantime, don't get stuck in your own mind palace. Break out. Do something different. And if you see me at the movies, keep your mouth shut.